Welcome to Meet the Sharks. I'm Kriptasha, and in this series, I'll be speaking with the sharks of SharkDAO. Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to the show. Today we have the artist, illustrator, and most importantly, shark, Meshup, with us. You may know him from his famous Nounsense coloring book, his art for the Lost Nouns podcast, but honestly, there's a lot of Nouns illustrations out there that Meshup has done, so I'm excited to talk with someone who's contributed so much to the Nouns ecosystem. So thanks for being here today, Meshup. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me. I mean, I'm doing cool. That was a really cool intro.
Good. Thank you. All right. Well, I'm excited to get this started and kind of get to know you a little bit more. Obviously, I know you mostly from the illustrations. So let's talk about your journey with art and, you know, how did you start and what influenced you?
Well, it's hard to tell because I started drawing since I have memory. So, mm-hmm. But obviously it took me like a couple of decades to get better on this. So, but yeah, I mean, I have been drawing since I was a kid. I always loved the animation, movies and series. One of my favorite animations when I was a kid is like the Batman animation from the 90s. So uh-huh. I'm not sure if you have seen that, but I mean, for a kid in that time, it's like, I don't know, the Batman series, it was just the character itself. It was so badass. And it's Batman, right? I mean, the guy is just badass in every sense. So, he was my favorite character for like 5 years, I guess, till I was like 9 years. Mm-hmm. So then I started to love Spider-Man because obviously. And the Spider-Man animation series from 90s as well. So one of the things that I really loved when I was a kid was the whole animation movement that was in the 90s. I mean, in the 90s, we had like a ton of good animation series. I mean, there's a lot of, maybe one of the, I'm not going to say Renaissance, but who knows? I mean, the 90s actually have a lot of good series. I mean, and not only like these blockbuster series like Spider-Man and Batman, but also, well, I think late 90s, started from 2000s. These series like, Daria is from the 90s, I guess. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love that as well.
Me too.
Yeah. And there is a series from Nickelodeon as well called Ginger. I'm not sure if you watched
that. I've never seen that one.
Yeah, so it was very interesting. It wasn't something like too focused to the mainstream audience. I mean, obviously it's broad enough, but it's not something like superheroes or something crazy like that. But this girl that has this process of becoming an how could you say that? Like a woman, I guess? She was like 13, I guess, in the character. So she started to see these changes on her body and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And the thing was, I mean, I'm not a girl, but I love the way the creators focus the whole thing on this and how hard girls have this kind of way of maybe sometimes hiding somehow these kind of changes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that was one of the biggest inspirations for many things because it was nothing to be focused like in battles or whatever, but individual minds, individual processes and some things like that, you know? So I mean, very, very, maybe psychological, I guess. He has a lot of drama, but yeah. Yeah, I mean, overall, in animation, I guess that was one of the my biggest inspirations so far. Obviously, any animation from Japan is just absolutely favorite. I love all the movies from Studio Ghibli. Evangelion is like the most, I don't know, for me is the best series so far. I mean, not in the sense from only the battles, but the same thing applies here. Like the psychological event from the protagonist, he's like dealing with his bad relationship with his father, So, but at the same time, he have to save the world and that all that kind of stuff. Yeah, whatever, you know, animation.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I love comics. I mean, I love everything from pop culture, I guess. Comics, movies, animation series. So I get a lot of inspirations from there. So.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I do think that it seems like in the 90s, the rest of the world was kind of catching up with animation, and Japan had it, you know, before that. It's amazing to go back and watch some of the cartoons from Japan and then look at the date, and it's like 1989, and I'm like, oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. It's so amazing.
I think that was the response for the Japanese in the 90s, because in the 80s, I mean, the Japanese were from nothing to something crazy. I mean, just the quality of some movies like Ghost in the Shell, and I'm not sure if you have seen that.
Oh, I know of it. I haven't seen it yet. I've seen Akira.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Akira is like the pinnacle of the best animation, the best Japanese animation so far. So,
yeah, amazing that I watched a YouTube video on that first, like analyzing it, and then I saw it, and I'm like, my goodness, I don't know the way they have the background moving as well as I don't know how that's possible, but it's really cool, way more advanced than some of the things I even see now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and maybe that's because they were focused to make that for not the children audience, I guess. I mean, it's because for grown-ups, I mean, we have some kind of that in the Western side of the world sometimes, I guess. But the animation is nothing like the 80s from the Japanese era, right? Because we have like, there is a funny series called... I forget the name. It's like this character, like, I mean, Adventure Time is something nothing necessarily made for kids, but kids actually love it. And but there is like adult series, like it's called The Midnight Gospel.
Okay, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, so The Midnight Gospel is like an animation for adults. Mm-hmm. So, well, I only have seen just like the first episode. So, but okay. It's so crazy because it's not the same focus to the Japanese animation for adults, because the Japanese is just way more detailed, way more. Maybe psychological focus as well.
Yeah.
Because you have to talk more, like, more than just fights, right? I mean, it's not just fights, it's not just transformations and all of this stuff, but it's something way more deeper. But yeah, I mean, maybe that's part of the inspiration, I guess. But yeah, for the process, how I did get here, I study graphic design, but I'm a self-taught illustrator. I'm specialized on that. Although I love 3D modeling and animation, of course. But actually, now I'm thinking it, I wanted to study industrial design, but because I really love the aesthetics of everyday products. I mean, I love the aesthetic of a lot of things. I mean, it's not just the drawing of some character, but the chair, the ergonomics, and all that stuff. I mean, I'm just too nerd for that. But I couldn't study that because it was more expensive than just graphic design. So I just took graphic design and yeah, whatever. But after college, I have no idea what to do. So, but I knew I have to be something related to drawing, right?
Right.
Making some kind of sculptures, visual storytelling, whatever. Maybe comics, who knows? But I'm from a small town, and artists there are not well paid. Mm-hmm. So the only thing left was like to aspire like a street painter or something like that. I mean, like a street painter is not like a street art. I mean, it's not something like Banksy, right? But
mm-hmm.
like someone makes this painting and they just go to the street and sell that and whatever. And I was like, I'm not sure. I mean, the top of this kind of process is like selling the artwork in galleries. But the thing is like, you only get there. I mean, you can't move on. So the thing is, to me, it was attractive for some time, like a few months, but I didn't like the whole thing actually. So I discovered that there were people who actually earn a living as a visual artist, but not in my city, of course. So I moved out like three times, found a work position as illustrator back in 2013. And after that, I started to do freelance jobs for about 6 years. And well, here I am, working full time at Web3.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think, yeah, what you said about selling the art on the street, yeah, that is such a small crowd. You're not able to fully, like, expand out. And then the internet comes along and provides opportunities. And now Web3 has just exploded. I mean, it's amazing. Like, so with the transition, it's not much of a transition because NFTs are, you know, art, tech, and all of that. But how did you first get into NFTs and hear about it?
Yeah, so for NFTs, it was a whole process because back to January of 2021, I heard about Beeple.
Oh yeah.
So I think he was like the boom. I mean, he was like the, how could you say that? Like, yeah.
Well, kind
like
of the catalyst of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, the catalyst, yeah. So I started to dig deeper on that and I found out a whole world of possibilities. I love the idea of digital creators getting well paid and for the first time actually having like a system that takes provenance as one of his main mechanics. So because that's really tough sometimes because you have these kind of digital artists, but they are just, I don't know, people are just stealing their works and maybe selling them in other platforms or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a whole new thing, right? So I was so fascinated by it. So but I can't say that now, but because back then it was like a gut feeling. It was nothing clear. So nothing really clicked to me that time. And since I didn't understand that much about DeFi either, so the whole thing was interesting but not exciting to me. I created an account here or there. I minted a few NFTs and abandoned the whole project. So... Mm-hmm. A few months after that, working as a freelancer, I started to see a lot of people asking for illustrations for PFP collections. And to me, those terms were totally weird. I mean, what is a PFP collection? It was like, yeah, what is this? So even though that I was making these NFTs before, right? So so I thought, yeah, is this NFT thing again? So I said, you know what? I will learn a little bit more. I will take some time to get basic education about this and try to make something useful with it, you know? And well, I mean, I think that's the start, actually. So
yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, the NFTs, the tech of it is like a weird onboarding experience for sure, because it feels like, at least it felt like to me, something completely different than what I had done online. Just, it's constant learning. And it's very exciting to get into. So I'm glad you found NFTs and you're able to share your art with the world now. And as far as like Nouns DAO and Shark DAO, you've obviously done a lot. So how did you find out about like Nouns DAO, Shark DAO? Like, how did you get into it?
Yeah, so I started to learn about this NFT space, right? So through YouTube videos and Twitter, I got rocked like 2 times. So, but I keep learning a lot because I was like, yeah, maybe I'm doing things wrong. So I have to learn a little bit more. So then I started to hear about DAOs. So back in September of last year, it was very interesting, to be honest. And then I discovered Nouns DAO on a YouTube video. I don't remember who made that, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I already follow 4156, but did you understand about this different mechanism, the daily auction system? I mean, it was a little bit confusing because I'm just out of this space. So
yeah.
A few days later, I joined Nouns Discord and I started to learn more about them. And I was fascinated. They are so different in so many ways. I mean, I love their ethos and the way the whole community shares and build content around Nouns. And I went, when I was getting some notion of Nouns, of what Nouns are, what DAOs are as well, so I found Shark DAO. So they are pretty closely related to Nouns, so it was really easy for me to be attracted to them as well. I really like the concept behind it, and I'm a shark right now.
Yeah. We're glad you are.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sharks are really cool as well. I really like the vibe there.
Me too. There's a lot of passion, which is very contagious. And, you know, there's that in the Nouns Discord as well. There's just, it's like everything's growing and people are contributing, and now Japan's involved, and it's amazing to see all of it and just to kind of grow Shark DAO and help grow Nouns DAO is amazing. It's super fun. I love it.
Yeah, totally. And every single time it's like people is trying to make something different and mm-hmm. something like maybe not bigger than the previous project, but something bigger in the sense of, what could I do as an artist or a builder bigger than anything that I have done before, right? But with Nouns. So, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's fascinating to me.
Yeah, it really makes you take off the like limitations sometimes. And it's hard because we've talked about, like in the Shark DAO Discord, how like Nouns funding works and things like that, and there's such a big treasury and they're, you know, giving it out a lot, and it's hard sometimes to remove those constraints because you're like, well, I mean, I guess I could do anything. And
yeah,
it's something else that's, I'm still struggling with removing the limitations.
Yeah, it's not easy, but I think it's a bit hard because it's a little bit hard because when you have this big idea, I mean, you can make anything that you want to do, right? But the thing is, like, when you sit down and you ask yourself, can I actually make this thing? I mean, well, at least you can try, right? So the thing is, at least people should try to make something. I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so too. Yeah. Okay. So there's a few things that you've helped SharkDAO out with. We have the Shark Friends and then our upcoming project in Shark Island. Would you like to talk a little bit about those things?
Yeah, for sure. Well, Shark Island is like an ongoing project so far. I'm the artist there. Not the only one, of course, because there are a lot of great builders there making this amazing place to for all the sharks to share their experiences. I mean, like having a place to share anything related to SharkDAO. And yeah, I mean, I can't disclose too much because it is an upcoming project. But yeah, I mean, it's looking really fantastic, and I think people will love that. In Shark Friends is an amazing movement, actually, because I am honored to be able to participate because one of the Shark members had this terrible situation. His son was hospitalized, and we came together to raise some funds and try to support him in this difficult situation, right? So I was volunteering right away. I knew the situation. And we developed two artworks for raising the funds. And by the way, I wasn't the only artist there. FOMO Baggins also participating and made a great piece for the occasion. So I think we really helped them. And they were very happy to see the finished artworks. So
yeah. That was amazing.
Yeah. By the way, we're talking about the same Shark Friends, right? I mean, for Dion.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. I remember seeing your artwork, and it was amazing. It was so cute because, so Del Piero is the pineapple noun in his profile picture and always has been. So I think we've posted it on Twitter, and it's just, you know, so Del Piero is like the pine. Well, wait, is Del Piero the shark and his son the pineapple?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, I just took the pineapple as a reference to Del Piero. So I thought, well, how could I make this something really attractive, really cute, but at the same time, like, relatable to SharkDAO and obviously Del Piero. So I was thinking, well, this is for his son, right? So, like, taking SharkDAO as this kind of caring organization or, you know, caring community that are all in taking care of his members, and Del Piero is like this little pineapple that is having fun in the island. And yeah, I mean, I'm not sure the concept has to be explained too much, but
yeah.
But the thing is, like, for me, it's like, hey, welcome, this is Shark Island, we are sharks, we are here together. If you have something, if you need us, you can count on us. Did you say that? Yeah,
I love that. Okay, so yeah, and I remember seeing that for the first time, and I got a little teary-eyed. It's a very sweet, you know, picture, and it conveys so much. I love it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, to me was like one of the most emotional pictures I have done so far, because the whole thing was pretty tough. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the final result, but actually to me was like a little bit of shock, I guess, because yeah, I mean, he's a little kid, but yeah, the whole thing came out really cool, and I think we helped them. So I'm grateful for being part of that shark or of the shark friends.
Yeah, it's a really great thing. I'm glad we were able to do that. And it does go back to when you were saying, as far as cartoons, you know, not just being for kids or being silly, which is sometimes how a lot of Americans think it. But, you know, you look at some of the cartoons of the 90s or Japanese cartoons where there's serious, you know, issues, there's, you know, coming of age, there's a lot of, you know, adult type topics, and they can be cartoons, yeah, but also, you know, shine a light on very serious subjects.
Yeah, totally. I mean, there is a lot of discussion to talk about that, but yeah, I mean, people only see cartoons like this first image, of course. Like, yeah, they are like dumb, I don't know how to say that, dumb drawings or stylized people, whatever. They just talk about dumb things, but mm-hmm. I mean, that is not the case. I mean, there are a lot of not only cartoons, and that's what I was so attracted to these, because, well, I actually I am an avid comic reader, so mm-hmm. In comics you find a lot of this stuff. There is like amazing comic called I totally forget the name. It's from an immigrant girl from Iran, I guess, or Pakistan. I don't remember. Oh, wow. I think it's Iran. It's like it's Persepolis. You can search about that.
Okay.
It is a graphic novel, as they say. It's not just a comic book, because comic book has this negative connotation to be only for superheroes and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But a graphic novel is like a novel, but with cartoons, right? Well, not necessarily cartoons, but with illustrations, with characters mm-hmm. made in a certain way. And this girl find herself in this kind of new regime where the government was just making a lot of pressure for the women to use this. How is this called? The black thing that they wear?
Is that a burqa? I could be wrong.
Yeah. I think that's the name. Yeah. So the thing is very interesting, because she was like this free spirit, and she was like, yeah, I'm a girl, and we are treated here like, I don't know, like less than a boy or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, the common thing. And it's like, I'm not just like that. I mean, I can play, I can do things differently, I can think differently and whatever. And but she's trapped in this country, and, well, not necessarily trapped, because she's from that place, but she finds herself trapped in this situation, and the whole thing is like turns out very, very tough for her, well, and for all women there, because the rules of the country were just too tough, and women have no rights, and, you know, this kind of stuff. I really don't like to speak of politics or thing like that, but I'm just talking about what's that called? The graphic novel. So
yeah, definitely. And I think that's like the ultimate form of expression as far as like able, she's able to have like sort of a free speech and questioning authority, and that goes with any sort of politics. I think in questioning things and providing that for other, hopefully like other girls to read and start to question things. So, I mean, it could be, you know, they could be used as being revolutionary in a way. And that's very powerful.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and the thing with that, with the thing that we were talking is like, cartoon is not necessarily related to silly things, right? I mean, that we can talk a lot of things, deep troubles, deep, I don't know, a lot of things that are actually part of the everyday life. So, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's still art. So art can be, you know, difficult to process sometimes, and it can offend, and all of these things, and all of it is what makes art, you know, great, what makes people like art. So it absolutely falls into it. And, you know, it's pretty amazing, and telling stories along with it. I love it.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, so as far as the illustrations and things that you've done for the Nounish community, are there any projects or just Nounish stuff that you've done that stand out to you?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, it's hard to measure because fortunately, all the works I have made so far have been well received by the community.
Mm-hmm.
So I started making like these 10 coloring pages as a proposal for Now Style back in October, I guess, of the last year. And while I was working on that, I did a collaboration with Certain Notes. And I also work with Bonies in a collab, and all of that is Nounish as well.
Yeah.
So shout out to them, by the way. I really love their work. They're really, really great builders, and they're friends of mine. So
nice.
I also made a piece for Nonsilors recently. So an amazing team of builders who have been working hard around nouns and building Nounish content and extensions. And we have several nouns as a governance tool inside a nouns ecosystem for those people who doesn't know what is Nounsilors. And so basically the artwork is depicting our first five nouns. They are like wearing togas and this thing. So
I saw that. I love it.
Thanks.
Because you've done that for them, and then the Lost Nouns podcast. It's really, it brings it all together because it's very cool. It personalizes people even though we don't show our faces. It's really neat. And then you mentioned the coloring book, and that's under Noun Sense. Would you like to talk a little bit about that? I actually have two copies of the first coloring book. I need to get the rest of the coloring books, but I love them very much.
Awesome, thanks. Yeah, for sure. So the coloring books. So after these 10 coloring book, these 10 coloring pages I made back in November, I made a new proposal to the DAO in which I will be building 4 coloring books with the first 100 nouns. So the time frame is actually a challenge, but I really keep pushing myself to improve every single day in my crafts. So basically they are like 30 pages for the first 3 books. I mean, each book has 30 pages with the 30 nouns. Mm-hmm. And so I had to work really fast to get them done by the end of each month because it's a lot of work. So, but I really enjoyed the whole process, to be honest, because painting coloring books is therapeutic, but I think I found my therapy doing this. So
yeah, like making the coloring books.
Yeah, so you can actually have therapy making coloring books as well. So all the books are totally free to download, and there is a physical version of each book on Amazon as well. So the whole series is called 30 Days of Nouns, and you can visit nounsense.wtf to download for free, or go to Amazon and search 30 Days of Nouns. And yeah, so far there are only 3 books, but the 4th book will be available this Sunday, on May the 1st. So yeah. About Nounsense is like my first project, I guess, or first brand based of nouns. So I'm trying to build something relatable, something fun, and nouns are the best characters to make that happen, you know? Mm-hmm. Overall, like, it is like an early stage brand, but I'm keep building it. So I'm working as well with Nounsense on Hyper Cosplay. This is like the second project I'm building. And it's actually part of Nounsense. Well, I say Nounsense, but you say nonsense.
Oh, so is it Nounsense or like nonsense?
Well, the word itself is like a play, right?
Because I don't know why I didn't see that before, but I mean it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying like nonsense because nouns.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you read it at the first glance, you can tell, yeah, it's nonsense because nonsense. It's a nonsense.
Yeah. I get it.
So, yeah, it's highly inspired, Hyper Cosplay, right? So it's the first project from Nounsense. It's highly inspired by nouns, but it's a little bit different, right? So I can't talk too much about it, but I'm happy that a lot of people are enjoying the art that has been presented so far. So
yeah, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people are just waiting for the same thing. And it was like, yeah, a little bit more time, guys. I'm working on it. So, with Lost Nouns, Lost Nouns is, I'm also behind a project called Lost Nouns, teaming up with very good friends, CDT and Want2Be. Well, actually, I call him 12B. So, well, that is.
Okay.
So, Lost Nouns is the first project using the same action mechanic of nouns ever made, because nouns, a lot of people are, we're taking like the assets from nouns and making like 10,000 PFP collections and all that stuff, but none of them have had done anything about the auction system before Lost Nouns, at least as far as I know, right? So Lost Nouns is totally on chain, and we are using traits made by the original artists behind Nouns. And yeah, I mean, the only thing different is like we're using only 404 Lost Nouns, and it's a whole new world. I mean, on-chain things is like very different. The guys, CDT and 12B, were so freaking good making that project as well. Because I'm just the guy in charge of the graphic side of things, right? But the technical stuff is like pretty tough. So yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool what they're building. Yeah, because it's like Lost Nouns, which is just nouns that were maybe thought of but weren't used. And I interviewed CDT a few. Well, not long ago, and his interview should be popping up at some point on the podcast. So he goes into the technical things, and it's very cool. I need to get one of those. I really need to at some point. I really want one. And I love all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty cool. We're actually like waiting for the secondary market, because we don't want to be like buying our own project, but maybe because I actually think we are just too tough with ourselves, because I really love this project, right? So I really mm-hmm. want to buy something, a few lost nouns, but the thing is like, yeah, but maybe people get a different message because we are like pumping our own project. And I was like, nah, we're not doing that. I mean, we're just loving this. And I can't wait to buy one, because they're only 404 and we're actually in the 144 right now. So we have like less than 300 lost nouns so far.
Right.
So yeah.
That's the issue I see sometimes, is like buying into what you're creating. It's supporting it because you believe in it, but then there's also people saying that you're pumping it. So it's,
yeah,
that's a difficult one to manage for sure. But I always tend to see it as people supporting their own project and liking it. I mean, that's a pretty good compliment to be like, I like what I created so much. Of course you would want a few.
Yeah.
Well, what are you excited to see from nouns in the future going forward? I know it's kind of hard to, I used to have a question that was more like kind of predicting, but who really knows? It's so vast. But yeah, what are you excited about?
Yeah, it's totally a hard question, because I mean, nouns is so open-ended that you can think anything about them. I mean, you can think that you can make whatever you want with them. I mean, they are just freedom. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think I want to see everything nounish. I mean, I really want to see big nounish landmarks somewhere. Maybe small accessories, I guess. Why not some clothing? There's mm-hmm. a few people that are making these online stores based off nouns as well, selling clothing.
Yep.
Video games, music, and I don't know, even nounish food, right? Because, I mean, come on, they are nouns. I mean, who doesn't want to eat some nounish cookies or whatever, right? So
yeah, absolutely.
So the great thing with nouns is the positive energy they have. So just the idea of seeing these characters and glasses everywhere just blows my mind. And it's like expanding the same positivity and the same vibes, you know? And I don't know, I really like them.
Exactly. Yeah, I want to see them everywhere too. I'm always trying to come up with different things, and usually I'll look at some of these proposals and people are coming up with things that I could never even think of on my own, and it's amazing.
Yeah, it's so crazy. I mean, and it's funny because I say the video games, music, clothing, and everything about that is like, everything is made so far. I mean, there is video games. There are people working on video games right now. Mm-hmm. There is like Nate is making the his nouns jingles, and he's freaking good. Right. I mean, he's just good. I mean, you think of like, how could be this possible to make these so fast and with such high quality? Because they are just funny. And yeah, sure. I mean, it's a jingle, it's short, but you have to come up with really good ideas. I mean, and just the fact that you have to work previously on what you have to do. I mean, it's nothing like, yeah, you sit down and you make this thing and ship it. I mean, it's like, nope. I mean, that is not how it works, right?
Yeah, you have nothing to work. About that is easy.
Yeah, so you have to work. You have to make some, I don't know how the musicians call their draft, I guess. But yeah, I mean, you have to work on that.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's very impressive what he does. I've been keeping up with that too. I just see everything pop up. I've seen Noun's fashion, like the fashion show. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, all the merch and that could keep going. And a video game. I mean, I know video games, like big ones, take years to make. But it would be very cool to have some sort of open world Noun's thing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, well, Nouns are one Noun forever. So a video game that takes like 4 years is pretty decent.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, great. We'll link everything that you've mentioned, all of your, you know, the projects and things like that, so people can find those. But for the listeners, where can people find you?
I'm mostly on Twitter so far, so you can find me there as Meshup, as M-E-S-S-H-U-P. So that's it.
Sounds good. All right, great. Well, I really appreciate you coming in for the interview. This was awesome to kind of pick your brain a little bit. And yeah, I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, me too. And thanks so much for having me and for giving me this awesome opportunity.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Meet the Sharks. You can find us online at sharkdao.community and on Twitter at sharkdao. Meet the Sharks is for educational, informational, and entertainment purposes only. Views expressed by guests and the host do not reflect the views of SharkDAO or Meet the Sharks podcast. Meet the Sharks is not investment advice or solicitation to make any financial decisions. Do not make contributions to SharkDAO in anticipation of financial returns. Do your own research.